Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland in the studio today. So welcome to the show. I do want to give you the phone number so that you can call us and be part of the show today. That number is 206-421-5757. Again, that's 206-421-5757. That's the number to get through today with our doctors. Now, something that you don't know, but you're going to know now. Dr. Mixon, you're here. We did not think you would be here. You just had back surgery less than 48 hours ago, and you're here, and you're smiling. What?
It's a philosophy of mine from way back when I first started having surgeries. You're going to hurt. You can hurt at home, or you can hurt at work. Why not be something productive while you're hurting instead of sitting there whimpering and feeling sorry for yourself?
I know. So you got the surgery on Thursday morning, and on Friday morning, I get a text message saying, well, I decided to come in because there's no point in hurting at home. I might as well hurt at the office.
That's right. That's right. So it was 22 hours or so after surgery. I was in the office.
I think I would want to hurt on the shores of Hawaii.
I have too much to do to go to Hawaii.
That's true. You've got a lot going on. Welcome to the show. So what is going on? What is top of mind right now?
A couple of things top of mind. Okay. And one of them was just those public service announcements that we were just hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The public service announcements that are the ads that really have touched my heart recently are the Tunnel to Towers. Mm-hmm. The Tunnels to Towers is a organization that provides homes for severely injured service people.
Okay.
Either police officers or first responders, but mostly military. Mm-hmm. And the guys that have been badly brain damaged or multiple amputees and so on and are really having difficulty functioning. Tunnels to Towers has gone out and built now close to 1,000 homes. They build houses and they give them mortgage free to some of these people with serious disabilities that have been suffered in service of our country.
Wow.
And which is really a neat thing.
And, not only is that just a neat thing, but to build a home like that requires special attention and thought because they have needs. The disabled have special needs.
Yes. And a lot of these are guys that, have lost both arms.
Yeah.
Or both hands. And, building a house to customize for someone like this.
Right.
Or the guys with traumatic brain injuries that are basically not functional, their family is having to care for them in every aspect.
Yeah.
And Tunnels Towers asks for $19 a month. Mm. That's what they're asking people for. Mm. So it is one of my three charities.
Okay.
There's only three things I give money to. Mm-hmm. I used to give money to politicians, but I discovered that giving money to any politician is like feeding stray cats, and suddenly there will be 40 of them demanding that the world turns on their being elected. They can only be elected if you give them your money. Go get a real job, guys. I give to Shriners. Mm-hmm. And I give to St. Joe's, and I give to Tunnel Towers.
Yeah,
just those three. The first two are hospitals that don't charge the families. They're for either kids with cancer or kids born with orthopedic injuries. And so I have a real soft spot for children. Mm-hmm. And so when people are doing good things for kids, they get my money. Mm-hmm. And I have a special affinity, obviously, for the Wounded Warriors.
Right.
Because, they claimed I was one of them. Mm. I was very fortunate. I see these guys that are injured in ways that they truly are seriously and permanently disabled.
Yeah.
The Army kicked me out and told me I was 90% permanently disabled because of old gunshot and shrapnel wounds. And I've never felt permanently disabled. Yeah, I got... an elbow doesn't work as well, and a knee that doesn't work as well, and a hand that doesn't work as well. But still, I've been able to function and have a very productive, lucrative career.
Right.
not everybody's as lucky or as fortunate as I've been. I've been able to compensate for most of my injuries. But, you know, the guys that can't, the guys that need some extra help.
Yeah.
And so these are my old brothers in arms. And so I don't give $19 a month. Okay. Yeah. I give a significant multiple of that to these guys. And I wish everyone else would too. Because these are young people that have really earned it.
Right, right. Yeah.
So.
No, so that's a great thing, Jerry.
If you're looking at a charity.
Yeah.
My recommendation is Tunnels to Towers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's just not being just grateful and thankful for what you have, but also doing something for others that are in distress. And everybody can choose something that is near and dear to their heart. Mm-hmm. You chose children and the Warriors. Somebody else may want to do education. Somebody may want to do something else. But also financial aid. But sometimes when people who cannot give financial aid, they can donate their personal time.
Yes.
And there is a big need for that. I feel that I talk to my patients who talk about retirement to me, I tell them that a purpose in life is very important. And when you are financially secure, that's when you can think about retiring. And that means that it allows you time to do something that you wished you were able to do, but you couldn't because you were otherwise occupied. Mm-hmm. And now you have the financial freedom to be able to offer something else. And if you don't have money, even your involvement will be very beneficial to people. People need that in this day and age.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got to find your purpose, huh?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Very good. All right. Would you like to chat a little bit more and catch up and find out what's newer?
Tell us about AI in our office, Jerry.
AI in the office, Dr. Mixon.
AI in longevity office. Okay. Well, as most of you don't know, but our company president is a certified genius when it comes to computer stuff. He actually developed what is now the cloud, and you know, sold it out for a pittance compared to what it's worth now.
Really?
But yeah, he started his first company when he was in his late 20s, and it was effectively a fiber optic cloud based operation.
Okay.
And he sold it out for umpteen $1 million and retired at 30 or something, and then played for a few years. Got hired by another small startup, which he grew up to the point that it got bought out and taken public too.
Okay.
And then he played for a while and then got hired by a third little company, and it also grew to the point it got bought out and taken public. And now I have him as the president of my company.
What are you telling us?
Yeah.
Are we going public?
Not in the near future. He actually tells me that I should never take it public.
Okay.
Unless I'm ready to die. But he said the actually families with the best generational wealth have a company that is profitable that they keep in the family instead of taking public.
Okay.
Things like what's the company that makes the Mack trucks? PACCAR.
PACCAR, yeah. Okay.
Family-owned, and all the family members are really, really rich trust fund babies now. But at any rate, yeah, so anyway, he is now the company president for longevity, has been for the last 3.5-4 years. And he's the one that's growing up our supplement company and has now turned his attention to this. In the supplement company, he took AI and he took all of the answers that we have given on our customer service side. Mm-hmm. The people have called in and asked questions about Relief Factor and stuff.
Right.
He had all of those answers recorded through the years.
Okay.
And he now then used them to train AI.
Mm-hmm.
So now when they call in, they get the AI bot who now has every answer that has ever been given for any question by any of the customer service agents for the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now what he is doing is he is taking all of the shows that we have recorded over the last 27 years.
Okay. Mm.
He's feeding 27 years of these shows into the AI bot.
Okay.
And so it is going, it is learning every answer that any of us have ever given to anybody who has ever called.
Okay.
And then it is looking at it and saying, okay, these were the ones from 27 years ago. And it compares it to the ones from 15 years ago and 10 years ago and 5 years ago and the ones we gave this week.
Uh-huh.
And the AI has actually learned the evolution of the questions and the answers we've given so that when people go to our website here within the next few months, he tells me, and they ask a question. The AI bot will be able to go back through every question we've ever been asked and every answer we've ever given and give them the answer that they have
in mind. How cool is that? Yeah.
We're going to have the only website around, the only Dr. Call-In Show in the country website in which all of our information is instantly available to anybody who goes to our website.
How cool is that?
Wow.
How's that for neat?
Yeah.
Yes, that
I
is.
I love it. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
Having geniuses in charge really helps.
That does.
It even makes guys like me look good.
No, all that's great news.
Yeah. So it's kind of fun. He just told me about that yesterday when I was in the morning.
Okay.
He said, I got a new thing to tell you about. Okay.
That's incredible. Yeah,
whenever Lynn comes up with something, it's always great.
Yes.
Yeah, but let me tell you, this is not medical, I'm sorry, but Lynn Castle impresses me. He's a great human being and a wonderful guy. Mm-hmm. He's been my friend for 25 years or so.
Wow.
He married my PA, by the way, back from when I was a country doctor. But between successful companies rollouts that he has done, he's made a significant amount of money. I've often wondered if I am his only poor friend. But along the way, he decided one of those times he was going to retire and play. Now, most men, when they hit midlife, they decide to buy themselves a red sports car.
Right.
Yeah.
Fast sports car.
And loud.
And mine's not loud. My sports car is
quiet.
1,200 horsepower.
Mine's loud.
But it's quiet. But he went because the Soviet Union had pretty much fallen apart and they were desperate for money in Eastern Europe. So he went over and found himself a Russian general in the Russian Air Force who couldn't pay his soldiers, and so he was able to pick out two MiG fighter jets on the flight line and buy them from the general.
Okay.
And have them
taken
apart and shipped to the United States, to Georgia, where he had the technicians from the MiG factory come over and reassemble the jets for him.
Uh-huh.
And then he had the Bureau of Tobacco and Firearms come down and disarm the jets. He had to take the Gatling guns and the rocket launchers off the jets so he couldn't attack an American city with them, which I approve of.
Yes.
And then he...
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Then, to show you the kind of unique character, he hired the test pilot from the MiG factory to come over and teach him to fly these MiGs to do aerobatics, low-level aerobatics, so he could fly them in air shows. Now, that's the kind of, you know, reach for the stars kind of guy this is.
I like that retirement. That's awesome.
I tell you, Lynn, most buy themselves a red sports. You're the only man I know who buys two MiG jet fighters instead of a sports car. And yes, but he bought one to fly and one for spare parts because getting new parts for MiGs is kind of tough in Washington State. And
where does he park it?
He actually had to get rid of them because his wife made him sell them when one of them caught on fire on takeoff.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And he got out just before it exploded.
Oh, wow.
So the remaining MiG, his wife made him sell.
Okay. Thank goodness for a smart wife.
Yes. And we still have Lynn, so that's good.
So we still have Lynn. And I've asked him, please, no more MiG fighters. They won't even let me fly my propeller-driven planes anymore because the company bought a key man insurance on me. They thought that I was important to the company. And so they bought a significant key man insurance on me. But in order to sell a multi-million dollar policy on a man of my age, they said, I'm not allowed to fly my own plane. I'm not even allowed to be a passenger in a private plane. I'm not allowed to drive a motorcycle anymore. I'm not allowed to scuba dive anymore. I'm not allowed to skydive anymore. They've taken away all my adrenaline rushes.
Wow. I'm sure Banding is very happy with all of that.
Yes, yes. No more jumping out of helicopters and glacier skiing.
Yeah, Banding is happy that they have clipped my wings.
Wow.
But I, damn it, I'm an adrenaline junkie.
Not today, you're not. 2 days and after so now, back surgery.
Now I try to be as staid and quiet and productive as my Hellraiser personality will permit.
Okay.
Can you ski, or they won't let you ski?
I can ski, but I'm not supposed to go out of helicopters on glaciers anymore.
That's right. Right. No glacier skiing. So, no skiing. Yeah. Bunny hills only.
Bandine doesn't even want me to ski because she says I go too fast and I hit the snow too hard. Uh-oh. And she wants me to slow down and be more placid. So,
well, this week you better.
I love my wife. I love my little 12-year-old daughter. Yes. I am trying my best to become a sane human being.
What does Ivory call you? What was the word you said? She said,
the tank.
Oh. The tank. Oh, that's good. What a name. I love it. Oh,
and that's because when she fences with me, you know, she says, I'm too fast and too strong.
No.
And so I said, honey, I'm 77 years old. I can't possibly be too fast. She said, you are. You got to slow down.
The tank. Oh, boy. All right. Well, we've got some callers ready to go. Why don't we at least get our first question?
All right.
Then we'll take a break and come back. Leroy is from Federal Way, and he has a question for us. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Leroy.
Hello, Leroy. How can we help?
Good morning, doctor. See, after the first show, we went up to our local pharmacy and got our flu and COVID shots. And I asked them how healthy the drugstore was financially. And he said, they're not sure. And I said, why? And they said, well, you know, the opioid lawsuits are being held toward the pharmacies, but they're not being held for the doctors that made the prescriptions. It sparked a question in my mind. Could you help me?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, and CVS is finally coming out of bankruptcy. Wow. They filed Chapter 11, and several pharmacies are in big, big trouble. For some reason, the lawyers decided that multi-billion dollar pharmacies and pharmaceutical companies had more money than doctors.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Which does make sense.
Yeah.
The individual doctor is not very wealthy.
That's right. So, so they're going for the deep pockets.
Okay. But
we'll touch on this a little more when we get back from the break, because I just heard some
music.
Some music that tells me we're probably right on a break.
There you go.
So we'll be right back, and we'll talk
right there,
a little bit
Leroy.
About this.
We'll talk about that, Leroy, and Glenn will be back with your question as well. If you have a question for the doctors, here is that number. Phone lines are open at 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
With Leading Edge Medicine. Right. Yeah. Glad that you're here with us. Here is that number to call. 1-206-421-5757. Get on the show. Talk with the doctors. Dr. Jerry Mixon here today. Dr. Samira Umat. And we have special guest doctor, Dr. Ken Pentland. And that's Leroy right. on the phone talking about, well, the pharmacies. And why are they going under?
Right. There's several of the biggest pharmacies in the country are either having to consolidate and get bought out by other companies or file for bankruptcy to get out from under their debts. And a lot of this has to do with the opioid epidemic. Mm. I don't know how many attorneys you have as friends, but there's a common thing among attorneys. They go where the money is. You follow the dollars. Okay. And when something goes wrong and somebody's going to get sued,
Yeah.
It's the guy with the money who gets sued the most.
Sure.
Oddly enough.
Because, so it should be the manufacturer.
Yeah. Well, they got sued.
Yeah.
The manufacturer, Purdue got sued because they were making the most addictive hydrocodone versions out there.
Right.
And they were careless as hell. They were misrepresenting the medical literature, and they were telling doctors
yes.
that people who have real pain will not become addicted to a narcotic.
Yeah.
No. If you have the genetic trait, you will get addicted to the narcotic.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how much pain you started with it.
Yeah. Because remember, our drug reps influence what we say.
Yes.
They come by the office. They tell us about the latest. They have a few minutes. They kind of show you, okay, this is the dose you start at. This is where you go. The side effects are minimal. The impact is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, you believe them because you think they're telling you the truth.
Unless you're me and you always go to the peer-reviewed literature.
Well, but how many doctors? You go to a small family medicine practice where there are five providers. You get five doctors in the same room with you for about 15, 20 minutes. Now, they don't have the time to go and do the research, right?
Yes.
They're going to believe you because, A, they're looking for a drug themselves because they have patients who have need. And then they believe that you have done your due diligence and you're telling them the truth. But they're not.
No, they're not. So anyway, the doctors believe what they're told. And it's true. If you're seeing 30 and 40 patients a day, you do not have the time to peruse the medical literature.
Yeah.
You know, you read the journal for your specialty if you're lucky.
Yes.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm fortunate that because of my position here, I spend 5 to 6 hours a day doing nothing but reading medical literature.
Right.
It lets me get a broad base of knowledge.
I know. And you may talk to your colleagues about a consult. And if you're lucky, you may get to the annual meeting.
Yes.
But that doesn't happen every year.
No. But at any rate, so I was fortunate in that I didn't fall into that trap.
Okay.
Okay. But most of the doctors in the country were writing this believing that it did not cause
addiction.
Mm. And... the reason the pharmacies got bit, two reasons. A, they are owned by large corporations that have a lot of money, and that's where the lawyers go.
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't do any good to sue a doctor who's got a net worth, you know, of a few hundred thousand dollars. And you got to sue a lot of different doctors.
Right.
And they're after tens of millions, billions of dollars in aggregate. You're not going to get that from one doctor at a time.
Mm.
So they go after the pharmacies. And where the pharmacies got hit is the patients were going to multiple doctors.
Mm.
One doctor was not giving the addict enough medicine. Mm. He was giving the addict what's in the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the addict was seeing 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 doctors.
Right.
And taking all of those prescriptions to the pharmacy to get the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And the lawsuits are simply alleging, hey, guys, you should have noticed that patient X had prescriptions from 12 different doctors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Now, in the defense of the pharmacy, the patients, the smarter ones, were taking it to multiple pharmacies.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so pharmacy in this CVS was not seeing the patient from the other CVS who then went to the third CVS and the fourth
CVS. Or a Safeway or somewhere else.
Or the Safeway. Or they went to Costco and they went to Walgreens and they went to everywhere.
Yeah.
And so they were getting massive amounts of the drugs. They were overdosing. They were dying.
Yeah.
And so the lawsuits followed. But they went after the pharmacies because that's where the money is.
Sure.
And that's where the drugs were coming from,
mm-hmm.
was from the pharmacies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So where's the money go?
The money goes to, 40% of all of it goes to the lawyers, the law firm.
Of course.
Yeah. And then depending on who's bankrolling it, then the other 60% gets divvied up to, quote, the injured parties, which were usually the states.
How so?
Well, because the people who are drug addicted and they're living on the streets, and the states and the cities and the counties are taking care of them, and they're on welfare, and they're on Meals for Wheels, and they're on all of these social services, and the states are footing those bills.
Huh.
And they're saying, you the pharmacy, drove up the cost to the state because we now had to provide all of these services to these addicted, disabled people who are not functional because they took the drugs that you sold them. So,
and guess what? Guess what reality is? There are now more government employees than there are private sector people. So hang on, folks.
That's the great joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, the tobacco lawsuits were umpteen billion dollars and that money went to the states. Supposedly, I loved it, they were going to use it to help people with emphysema and lung cancer.
Yeah.
No, it went in the general budget and got spent for everything the politicians wanted it spent on. Come on.
Oh, my gosh.
It did not get all flow into services for lung cancer and emphysema.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's my big problem with a lot of charities as well, because you never know where your money is going. They tell you it's this is the cause, but which fraction? Did a penny even go to the cause that I actually gave my money for?
Yeah, well, and for many charities, it is true. The majority goes into administration and fundraising.
Yeah.
And that's why I have picked my charities carefully. Tunnels to Tower.
Yeah.
Okay. The CEO of Tunnels to Tower makes about $70,000 a year. He raises $100 million and keeps 70 grand. Okay. He's the average American income.
Yeah.
He's not wealthy. Now, on the other hand, the CEO, what is the one that United Nations does, the big UN charity?
Is it UNICEF?
UNICEF, yes, yeah, uh-huh. UNICEF. Yeah, the CEO of UNICEF for United Nations makes $700,000 a year.
So he
runs it. He runs the international charity, $750,000 a year.
So, wait a minute.
Yeah, we know where the money's going.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So pick your charities carefully. When you can, look at their statements. Look at where, how much of the, what percentage goes for fundraising, what percentage goes for administration, because that's usually the biggie, and how much goes to actual provide services. Tunnels to Tower is an all-volunteer organization, and the money goes to the vets. It goes to build homes, mortgage-free, for severely disabled.
What's the other one that builds homes for
Habitat for Humanity? And I know nothing about their economics, but I've had the opportunity to sit down with the CEO of Tunnels to Tower.
Nice.
And spent a fair bit of time chatting about the finances and how they arrange things. So
nice.
I made him my third charity.
Nice.
There you go.
Great cause.
Is that good information for you, Leroy, about the pharmacies?
That's all I need to know. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Leroy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for your call. Glenn, we're going to talk with you in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break and plenty of room on our phone lines. Here's that number to call to get through today for Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and our special guest doctor specializing in the gut is Dr. Ken Pentland. We'll be back after this break. Here's the number to call in, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, Dr. Ken Pentland. Wow, we've got a bunch of them today.
But you know what?
And you on the phone.
I need to correct something that I said in the last segment. I gave some wrong salary numbers.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I screwed up. The salary for the CEO of UNICEF, I said, was $750,000. He only makes $620,000 a year.
Okay.
So the poor guy's right. Only $620,000. Okay. And Frank Siller, the chairman CEO of Tunnels to Towers, I thought Frank had a mid-range $70,000 or so. No, his salary is zero.
Oh, really?
Well, he doesn't take
He takes
salary.
No compensation.
Oh.
Neither does his wife, who is the president, nor does his son, George, or his daughter, Janice, who are vice chairs. It's a family organization, and nobody gets paid. Okay.
So how do they support them? They made their money in business.
They retired. And so they take zero from Tunnels to Tower. So 100% of the money goes to service to the disabled first responders and veterans. Nothing goes to the executives.
Mm.
Just thought that was
something I should clear up.
Thank you for clearing that up, Jerry.
But also I feel that that's what a charity should be, but it's not.
I know.
But kudos to the team that can do that, right?
Yeah. Back when the first American Special Forces soldier was killed in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I was doing a radio show, and the young man was actually a soldier based down at McCord.
Oh, okay. Joint base. Lewis McCord here.
Yeah. And so he was a Special Forces trooper from there. His family lived down there.
Okay.
And so the day he was killed, I happened to be on the air doing our Saturday radio show.
Okay.
And I told everybody to send money, and I was going to give it to the family.
Okay.
And our callers sent me all kinds of checks.
Really?
All of which we cashed and then transferred into one single check and sent down to his wife and children the following week.
Okay.
So, yeah. So,
wow.
And I think that's the way charity should work.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to help somebody, you help them.
Right.
I happen to be fortunate that I was sitting on the radio and I had several thousand listeners that could each send anywhere from $1 to $5. I mean, they were small checks. Nobody sent big bucks.
Yeah.
You know, but we were able to send a significant check down to them. Nice. A week later.
Right.
So, and obviously I took nothing for that.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't. You're right.
Yeah.
Charity should be from your heart, and it should be something you give because you care.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, doctors, you ready for a call?
Mm. Yes, let's do it.
All right. We have Glenn on the phone. Glenn calling in from Tenino. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Glenn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to call and get my memory refreshed. I had a colon cancer diagnosis, I think the tail end of last year, and started looking into, you know, what I could do to turn that around. And if I remember right, one of our conversations was that if you read these health books on how to beat cancer by eating right, they recommend eating blackberries and blueberries. But you said that black currants have 100 times flavonoids?
Yes, there's a particular flavonoid in black currants that is a sirtuin 6 stimulator. Mm. But you know, for colon cancer, I would lean towards curcumin, just because it's not well absorbed into the system. It stays in the bowel and has a direct effect on the bowel, and it does inhibit the growth of colon cancers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, well, I'm amped up on that.
Good.
You probably have a lot of older people listening to your radio show.
Can I issue a
warning to? I was listening to a radio show out of Sacramento this morning, and they got off on the topic of all these scams and all these dating services.
Yeah.
Which includes Facebook. Mm. I used to get these hot little babes. I'm 71, and I'm a pretty good-looking, healthy guy. Mm. But I'd have these hot little babes, you know, swing on there and start sweet-talking me and, of course, they're all broke. They don't even have money for a passport and want you to send them money. But what they pointed out on this radio show, a lot of these scammers hire strippers to pose as these girls. And, like, I remember one of them, for me at least, I was getting egged on by some little babe, and she did a strip tease for me and wanted me to send her money, and I halfway through her little strip tease, I typed into my computer, put your hand, your left hand on your head, and she totally ignored it. So that's when I knew playing a tape of a stripper trying to get me to send them money.
I'll tell you.
Just one of several scams.
It's probably worse than that. It's probably not even a woman.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Because they actually, in the Philippines have, and in the South Asia, Indonesia, they have basically large operations with 100 people. Many of them are guys. They're all pretending to be girls, and they're trying to scam guys all over the country.